Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Average Joe Radio. This is Average Joe. You say you have a resolution. No, I'm not going to be singing on this episode, but that's the name of the episode is So You Say You Have a Resolution. This year, most of the time people for New Year's make resolutions. Not everybody does. I guess I have, but I usually don't. But we'll get to that. First off, I wanted to do This Day in History, and before I do This Day in History, our This Day in History last week, I had actually made a comment that was incorrect, and I wanted to correct myself. I actually got an email from Average Don. I don't think he'll mind me telling you that, and I'm just going to read it to you. I'll give you the meat of it anyway. He said, "You stated that the death of Rasputin caused the outbreak of World War I. Unless I'm mistaken, and that is certainly a possibility, it was the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand of Austria that triggered the beginning of the war. I believe it was a Bosnian Serb nationalist that killed him and his wife while on a trip to Bosnia." So, let's see. Okay, I'll read you the rest. "I know certain information about Rasputin because of Ouspensky's and Gurdjieff's writings, and I agree he was killed, but have not found where his murder was a significant factor in the ensuing war. Please fact check and set me straight." And you know, and thank you, Average Don, for pointing that out to me. I am Average Joe, and I'm pretty average, and so, you know, I make some mistakes. I promise you that. That won't be the last one. Regarding that, it was like when I was reading that last week, and I'm not making any excuses, but it was just for some reason the way my mind works. When I read about Rasputin and the time period, I just automatically equated that to what started World War One, and so that's where I went with that. So again, not making excuses, but I do make mistakes, and that was a big one. And you guys call me on it. If you hear me say something else that's not accurate, or you disagree with me about something regarding whether it's a fact or even if it's just my opinion, I'm happy to talk to you about it. I'm probably not going to debate you about it because opinion's opinion and everybody's got one. So, but anyway, so on we go. Today in history, Theodore Roosevelt died 100 years ago, and that was as you probably figured out by now, I'm kind of a fan of presidential history, and so I just wanted to, I'm going to get to the main subject, but I just wanted to say a few things about Roosevelt. So I was just reading up on him because of that. There was an article on history.com. Regarding that, because of it being 100 years ago, and there was a few things that you may not know about Teddy Roosevelt. One is, on Valentine's Day in 1884, his mother passed away from typhoid fever, and one floor above, in the same house, his first wife, Alice, died less than 12 hours later from Bright's disease and complications from giving birth to the couple's first child just 2 days before. So, that was a bad day for Roosevelt. That would be bad for anybody. He lost his wife and his mother in the same day. Number two, Roosevelt was a New York City police commissioner. I'm not going to get into the meat of that, but that's something interesting. Roosevelt went skinny dipping in the Potomac River. He did that on a common. I'd heard that before. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. The man famed for his exploits at San Juan Hill during the Spanish-American War and Big Stick diplomacy captured the 1906 Nobel Peace Prize for his role in the mediating the treating of Portsmouth, which ended the Russo-Japanese War. Roosevelt was the first American to capture the award, and he used the prize money to fund a trust to promote industrial peace. He was the first, number five, he was the first sitting president to leave the country. He made presidential history in 1906 by becoming the first chief executive to leave the United States. He sailed aboard the USS Louisiana to personally inspect the construction of the Panama Canal. Boxing accident, number six, left him virtually blind in one eye. Number seven, he was a prolific author. Number eight, he was a member of the Hasty Pudding Club. And he, let's see, he once scaled the Matterhorn. Basically, the short version of that is his doctor said, you know, because of his health problems, he needed to kind of live a sedentary life. And he told his doctor, nah. He said, you know, if I'm going to have to live like that, I would rather my life be shorter than non-eventful. And I think most of you that know anything about Roosevelt know that he liked to get out and do stuff. I think he was an avid hunter, an outdoorsman. You know, he was a man's man. Number 10, he volunteered to lead an infantry unit in World War I. And that was after his presidency. He was 58 years old, and he was eager to return to the front line. So, well, I'm gonna stop with that because I want to get on to our subject matter. Let's see here. So you say you want to set a resolution. The call-in number is 914-219-0884. I really want to hear you guys, if you have set a resolution for yourselves this year, or if you've ever set a resolution, if it's one that you remember, call me and tell me about it. I'd love to hear about it and talk to you about it. If you saw my video clip earlier, I don't really have any resolutions. You know, what is a resolution? The short definition, and I didn't look this up, but this is just what it is to me, is it's a promise. It's a promise to yourself, and you know, you resolve to do this, but you're really making that resolution to yourself. So a lot of people, they want to eat better, they want to lose weight, they want to exercise, which all those are kind of in the same category. They want to make more money. They want to spend more time with their family. They want to get a new job, which kind of goes maybe with the making money. They, you know, just things like that. Those are pretty typical. And actually, that's for me personally. You know, my two biggest goals in life, you know, so far as on this planet, is just to take care of my family, you know, make a decent living so I can take care of my family and spend time with my family and my friends. You know, those are the two most important things to me. But anyway, call me, 914-219-0884. The reason I don't make resolutions is because I think you should set goals and make promises to yourself whenever you think the time is right. I don't think you should be waiting for January 1st to do that. You know, I know it's a good line in the sand, so to speak, to do that, because it gives you some people like to do that. And I'm not criticizing any of you or anybody that wants to do that or likes to do that or has done that. It's just for me personally, you know, you can set goals anytime, and you should. You shouldn't say, well, come January, and when it's in August, you know, well, just wait till January and I'm going to do some great stuff. Do it now. You might not live till January. You know, to set goals, and really a resolution is kind of setting a goal. You know, you have to have once you set the goal, you have to have a plan to achieve the goal. And I've got some quotes here that I'm going to read to you in a little bit, but the gist of it is, if you have, you know, you make the goal, you make a plan, and then you follow the plan. And usually you want to make the goal where it's higher than you think you can achieve, because you want to always be reaching and you always want to be outside of your comfort zone. Because if you reach your goal, then where? You know, then what? I mean, yes, you want to set realistic goals, but you always want to have the next step in, you know, what? Well, what then? And a plan to achieve that. If you want to make more money, how are you going to do that? Are you going to go and get more education? Are you going to learn a new trade? Are you going to, you know, invent something, make widgets, you know, be a salesman, you know, whatever. What, you know, start a business. What kind of things are you going to do to achieve that goal? And then how are you going to do that? You know, make, you know, a real plan. All successful people, when it comes to achieving their goals, have a plan. It doesn't just fall in their lap. And I'm not talking about just monetary success. I'm talking about success at anything, because certainly money in your checkbook does not make you a good person, or it shouldn't make you who you are. 914-219-0884. I challenge you. Call me. Let me hear what your perspective is. Even if you don't have any resolutions or particular goals, if you just have any input on what we're talking about, that's cool too. Let's see. Oh, one thing that I've done a lot of read a lot of self-help books, and I've read a lot of motivational type books through the years, and I've probably read more of those kind of books than I have. Usually it's those type of books and maybe biographies and autobiographies, mostly nonfiction. I'm not a real big novel reader. I like to read things that are either going to help my life or about something that really happened, you know, history or somebody's life or whatever. But one of my favorite quotes that I heard, and I think it was in one of the books I read, and this is not necessarily a quote, this is just a little story, was Thomas Edison. He had, you know, he had tried about 20,000, you know, this is what I've heard, about 20,000 different things or ways to create the light bulb, the first incandescent light bulb. And that was about 20,000 different ways it didn't work. And that's the way he looked at it was, well, you know, we found 20,000. He didn't look at it as failure. Excuse me. He just looked at it as, this is the process of succeeding is failing. And that sounds kind of funny, but most people that are, again, successful, the biggest difference between them and people that are unsuccessful is the ones that are successful have failed more than the ones that are unsuccessful, because they take that failure, they learn from it, and they move on. So 914-219-0884. But he found that Thomas Edison, he found that he tried all those ways, it didn't work. And then one day, and I don't know when this, what year this was, but his lab burned to the ground. And instead of getting out there and whining and crying, which there might have been some whining and crying too, but he did, he said, praise God, all our mistakes are gone, and this is roughly paraphrased, we can start anew again. So, you know, every day is a new day. You know, put your failures behind you, learn from them. And I know this is kind of sounding like a motivational speaker. I do not live in a van down by the river. I've been thinking about it, though. It depends on the river and the van, I guess. It would be probably could be kind of fun. But, you know, I know that's kind of where way I'm sounding. But just on the note of resolutions in general, make them every day. Every day you kind of have to re-promise yourself and reset your goals. And don't wait till January 1st. I mean, if that's what you need to do, then that's what you got to do, I guess. regarding goals in general, I said I had some quotes for you, some pretty good ones. This is Booker T. Washington. He says, "You measure the size of the accomplishment by the obstacles you have to overcome to reach your goals." So again, you know, obstacles, things that you have to, if it was easy, everybody could do it. You know, you're anything worth achieving is usually going to, there's going to be a struggle. And as I said, there's going to be failures on the way there. There's, the journey is not going to be, you know, a bed of roses, or, you know, what other metaphor can I think of? Here's one. If you want to be happy, set a goal that commands your thoughts, liberates your energies, and inspires your hopes. That's Andrew Carnegie. All who have accomplished great things have had a great aim, have fixed their gaze on a goal which was high, one which sometimes seemed impossible. That's Orison Swett Marden. I hope I pronounced that name correctly. 914-219-0884. We've still got a few minutes left. You know, the funny thing is, I was talking about, you know, I did not set a resolution, but last year I had actually gone on a low-carb diet. Not really that I set a goal for myself. It's just, you know, I got tired of being fat. And so I said, well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this low-carb thing because I'd seen so many people have so much success with it. So I decided to do it. And it's tough for me because one of my biggest vices is food, believe me. And I love, you know, food that's not necessarily the healthiest food. You know, cheeseburgers, pizza, French fries, you know, fried seafood, fried anything. You know, I'm from the South. But anyway, I was able to do it. I was actually able to achieve it because low carb really just meant I couldn't eat bread and I couldn't eat rice and potatoes. And I couldn't eat sweets, basically, you know, or you know, had to keep them down. And so I could still eat meat. I could eat all the meat I wanted to. I can eat green vegetables, which I love green vegetables. And that was the main thing, you know, you can eat cheese and things like that. So I was able to stick to it, and I lost almost 25 pounds, which is a pretty big deal for me because I had not lost, well, I don't know if I've ever lost that much weight on purpose. I did lose a bunch of weight when I was back when I was working a job. I started delivering propane and getting in and out of a truck and dragging a hose across somebody's yard repeatedly all day. I lost about 15 or 20 pounds and actually got down to the weight that I weighed in high school, 165 pounds, and that was when I was probably... Oh, I don't know. I was probably close to 30 years old, and so I hadn't been that. But just that, you know, changed it changed my metabolism. I could eat like I wanted to and doing that job, but I don't think I want to do that again just to stay skinny. But what I'm getting at is I lost the weight, and then this past year, you know, we had a above-average Joe and myself were having struggles with her health situation and all that, and so I kind of used food as a comfort, you know, which many people do, and I just kind of ate what I wanted to, and before you know it, I've put about 10 pounds of that back on, so I'm not back where I was when I started losing weight, but I just kind of had in my mind, you know, when the time is right, I have got to get back on this and try to get back at least back to where I lost down to before. So come January 1st, and I didn't tell myself I was going to do this, but I just made a decision on January 1st because most of the cookies were gone and most of all the other tempting foods that we had for the holidays were gone. I just said, well, today's the day I'm going to do it. And so I have, and it's the 5th or 6th now. And so far, so good, and I've actually lost a little weight. So I hope to stay with it. But let's see, 914-219-0884. That's the number to call in if you got a comment, you want to just talk about what I'm talking about, or you want to talk about anything else for that matter. And if you need, if you want to email me, it's Average Joe, that's Average J-O at carolina.rr.com. If you just got a comment, you want to send me a comment, be happy to respond to that, not necessarily right now, but at some point if you got any comments about this show or any other show. So, let's see. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. I've heard that one before. That's Earl Nightingale. By recording your dreams and goals on paper, you set in motion the process of becoming the person you most want to be. Put your future in good hands, your own. And that's the truth right there. Nobody's going to make it happen for you. You know, in this world, most of the time, you know, things don't just fall in your lap. You got to make it happen. The trouble with not having a goal is that you can spend your life running up and down the field and never score. That's Bill Copeland. The moment you have an instinct to act on a goal, now this is something I didn't know, and actually I believe this is true. The moment you have an instinct to act on a goal, you must physically move within 5 seconds or your brain will stop you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. That's Mel Robbins. That's interesting, and I know that's true because I have like thought of things. It's like maybe I should do that, and then I'll talk myself out of it. You know, it's going to be really hard. I won't be able to, you know, this is going to happen or this is going to happen, and I won't be able to do it because of this or that or whatever. So I know, you know, I know that's true. You have to set goals that are almost out of reach. That's what I was saying earlier. If you set a goal that is attainable without much work or thought, you are stuck with something below your true talent and potential. That's Steve Garvey. And I believe that, too. These are some good quotes. Good old Ted Turner, you should set goals beyond your reach so you always have something to strive for. So you see there's kind of a common denominator there, setting goals that may seem to be out of reach. But, you know, you got to stretch yourself, push yourself for the greater good, for your, you know, I mean, and you know, again, I'm sounding like a motivational speaker here, but I don't intend to be. Some people are content with their lives and they don't want to do anything else. And by God, it's your life. If you're doing what you want to do and you're happy and you don't need to go any further, I mean, who am I to tell you to do any different? Let's see. A goal properly set is halfway reached. That's Zig Ziglar. He's Mr. Motivational Writer. If you hadn't read a Zig Ziglar book, if you need to be motivated, he writes some good stuff. I think goals should never be easy. They should force you to work, even if they are uncomfortable at the time. And that's Michael Phelps. That's a fairly young feller with some advice there. You can do anything if you set goals. You just have to push yourself. That's R.J. Mite. If you don't design your own life plan, chances are you'll fall into someone else's plan. And guess what they have planned for you? Not much. That's Jim Rohn. And you know, excuse me, making a plan for achieving your goals is kind of like living on a budget. I mean, sort of, because you have to, when you only have so many resources, if you don't live on a budget, you're going to be running out of money, or you're going to have to do without some things that you might need because you need to plan for the future and also take care of yourself now, but you have to think about future self. And that goes the same with setting goals and trying to make your life better. So 914-219-0884. We got some heavy duty radio silence from you guys today. Haven't heard from you guys. So my goal is to have you call in 914-219-0884. And my plan to achieve that goal is to keep giving you the phone number and asking you to call in. So that was the short plan, but we'll see if we can reach that goal. The greater danger for most of us isn't that our aim is too high and miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. So that's good stuff. That was actually Michelangelo. Focus, discipline, hard work, goal setting, and, of course, the thrill of finally achieving your goals. They are all Lessons in Life, Christy Yamaguchi. Here's another one by Zig Ziglar. What you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. Now, that there's some wisdom there, because you've heard the saying, it's the journey, not the destination. The things that you do to get to where you're going and the things that you experience on the way makes you who you are. The struggles, I mean, really, the struggles that you overcome. And, you know, I'm not a big businessman. I'm not a super financially successful guy. In my Facebook the About Me section in my profile, it says I'm a God-made non-millionaire. So I'm just, you know, average Joe. That's what I am. I make a living, and we have a roof over our heads, and we can eat. You know, we've never missed a meal. If you see me, you know that's true. We've been able to pay our bills, but and the reason I'm saying that is just that I'm not trying to say, hey, you got to do what I do, because you don't. I mean, I'm just average. I'm just, you know, I'm an average Joe. I'm just a regular guy, and that's going to be the spinoff series from this show. Is I'm just a regular guy. I'm just kidding. okay. I believe there are two ingredients necessary to make every day a masterpiece: decisions and discipline. They are like two sides of the same coin. You could call them goal setting and goal getting, and they can't be separated because one is worthless without the other. That's John C. Maxwell. And that's I was thinking of that myself, so far as making a decision to do anything. It requires a decision. You have to decide that you're going to do it and be real about it. You can't be, you know, just flippant about it. Once you make a real decision to do something, then your chances of accomplishing what you've decided to do have increased by 100%, because if you don't make a decision, it's not going to happen. If you set goals and go after them with all the determination you can muster, your gifts will take you places that will amaze you. Les Brown. Our goals can only be reached through a vehicle of a plan in which we must fervently believe and upon which we must vigorously act. There is no other route to success. And that was Pablo Picasso. I agree. You got to have a vehicle. You got to have a plan. And I don't mean a car. It just means a machine or a way, a metaphorical machine to get you where you want to go, to achieve what you're trying to achieve. Maintaining a positive attitude covers hidden abilities and calls up untapped resources. It frames the conditions needed to make the best use of talents, provide fresh outlooks, set goals with confidence, and overcome reluctance to trying new things. So positive attitude. Man, that was Roger Fritz, by the way. You know, that's a big one right there, because it's hard to be positive all the time. Nobody's positive all the time. Believe me, I'm probably maybe 60-40. Most of the time I'm a pretty positive person, but I get down, I get discouraged. I try to be positive because, you know, I know that I'm not going to do anything if I'm, you know, sitting on my butt and being all down. Well, we're about out of time. I appreciate you guys listening. I wished you would have called in, but you didn't, and that's okay. I'm more than happy to keep yakking. You know, that's what I do, because, you know, I'm average. But we will be back on next week at 6:30, as far as I know. And not sure exactly what we're going to talk about just yet, as usual. But we're going to be out of here. And, again, thanks for listening.